Proverbs 4. It says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. Now, I want you to know that this is written by, as we all know, by Solomon. And the Bible says he was the wisest king that ever lived. And Solomon wrote a lot of wise sayings. And because God gave him wisdom, he was able to write about life. See, you know what wisdom really is? Wisdom is the mastering of life. You master life when you have wisdom. See, people, you can gain mastery in different areas. You can gain mastery in cooking. You can gain mastery in engineering. You can gain mastery in speech making. You can gain mastery in art. You can gain mastery in music. You see, the reason that if you gain mastery in all of those things and you don't gain mastery of life, you cannot be fulfilled. You see, because you will more know people, whether popular people who have gained mastery, who have mastered. Some people gain mastery over finance. They know how to make money, mastery in business. But wisdom is the mastering of life. That is life in itself. How to live well. How to live and master life. That is, life does not faze you. Life does not disturb you. You've gained the ascendancy over life when you are wise. Wisdom. That's what wisdom is. And I didn't give this, but look at this. Look at Proverbs 1. Quickly, if you can get Proverbs 1, if you can get Proverbs 1, I want to show you something there. That's a scripture that we will actually be reading next week. Proverbs 1. Can you find it quickly? She has. Thank you very much. See, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David. See, the thing about Solomon was he was always giving credit and acknowledging his father David. See, the relationship between David and Solomon was powerful. And he poured out a lot of wisdom into Solomon. David was the one who had that personal relationship with God. The Bible says he was a man after God's heart. And you know, he did one thing. He knew the most important thing in life. And he passed it on to his son. And he passed on wisdom to him. And when he gave wisdom to Solomon, Solomon increased in wisdom. And the wisdom he gave him was to seek the face of God. That is, his focus must be on God. And that's what happened in the life of Solomon. So it says the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, verse 2. Next verse. I'm going to be reading it up to verse 5 or 7. To know what? To know wisdom. That is, the purpose of writing this book is to let people know wisdom. This is what it's saying. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, and I've written it so that people will know what? Wisdom. And what? Instruction. To perceive the words of understanding. And you know, when you study this next week, I want you to not just read it. I want you to focus on these words. To know. To know. And it says to do what? To perceive. Next verse. To receive. Instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. So when you have wisdom, you are able to receive the instruction of wisdom, of justice, of judgment. Judgment is discernment. You are able to discern things. Nothing confuses you. You're never living in confusion because you have discernment. Your eyes are wide open. Your spiritual eyes are open. The minds of your heart are open. Justice. You know, where there is injustice, it means there is a lack of wisdom. There's a lack of wisdom. Where there is wisdom, there is justice. You remember Solomon? They brought a baby, you know, to Solomon, and two women were claiming to be the owners of the baby. Now justice needed to be given. You had to give the right judgment to the right person. How would you do that without wisdom? Now, we know the story, so we think it is easy. But it's not easy if two women come and they say, this is my child. Don't forget, there was no DNA and all of those things in those days. Amen. So you don't have that way to. So how will you know? How will you be able to judge right in life? How will you be able to know this is correct, this is not correct? This is good, this is not good. How will you know when everything seems to be the same? Wisdom will do that for you. You see, so look at what it says. You see, so what happened is they brought the baby, and look at what Solomon did. What did Solomon say? Solomon said, let's cut the baby into two. Now, if you were there, let's say you don't know the story. Say, what kind of king is this? What kind of foolish king is this? You see, when people who are acting in the wisdom of God, amen. Hallelujah. Don't worry about it. Amen. Now, if they're acting in wisdom, sometimes it may sound foolish to the unwise. Cut it into two. You know, if he was not a king, if he was something that we could discuss among ourselves, we would not agree. Because she would say, no, pastor, don't cut it into two. But he was not intending to cut the baby into two. He was using wisdom to get judgment. Amen? Amen. To get what? Judgment and injustice. Amen. Hallelujah. So he said, and then we know the story. And one woman said, oh, yes, let's do that. That's the best thing. I'll take half. You take half. The woman who actually owned the child said, no. Give the baby to her. You see, wisdom brings good judgment. And it gives justice. Now, look at it. Now, it says to receive it. To receive it. To know, to perceive, to receive. This is important. You see, because wisdom is crying out. Wisdom is available, but you need to know it. You need to receive it. You need to perceive it. Next verse. To give prudence to the simple. This is what Solomon is about. Solomon is like his whole life was about wisdom, was about knowledge. That's why the Bible says he was the wisest king that ever lived. Look at that. It says, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. You see, Proverbs was primarily written for young people. I'm not saying that it's not for older people as well. You know why? It's for young people. He just said it. He told us what he's writing. You see, when you write a book, you write your introduction. Now, when you introduce the book, you say, well, this is what this book is about. This is what I want this book to achieve in your life. So this is his introduction to the young man. When he says young man, listen to me. Many places in the Bible, when he uses man, you know, God made man, you know, male and female created in them. He's talking about man as in general, as in the mankind. Thank you. As in mankind. So it's for young people, so that young people do not make the mistakes of the old. The old can learn a lot of things from it. The word of God is for everyone. But he's saying, my desire, my goal in writing this book is so that young people will live right. And they will never regret their lives if they can follow the instruction of wisdom. Because he said, my father said to me, my son. So I'm speaking to young people so that they can learn. He says they will do what? Knowledge and discretion. You know, it's so easy to walk without wisdom and discretion. Amen. Okay, I'm not going to go on, but we're going to read it next. That's what you're going to be reading next week. So let's go back to Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, verse 7. You see how important wisdom is. It says, wisdom is a principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all your getting, get understanding. In all your getting, get understanding. It is so important, church, that our hearts are fixed on gaining wisdom. Because it is the principal thing. Next verse. Exalt her, Exalt wisdom. Let wisdom be something that you exalt above everything else. When people meet you, you say, well, I just want to gain more wisdom. I want to gain more understanding. That's my passion. That's my love. That's what I care about, because it is the most important thing in my life. I want to gain wisdom. I seek wisdom more than everything else that I seek. And I hope that through this teaching, you will get to that point where you will actually, because I'm saying it now, but in reality, in your life, wisdom is not the most important thing at this present time. You didn't wake up this morning and say, Lord, your wisdom. You didn't. You know, I don't know how many people. You know, you say you do sometimes, you know. That is, wisdom is your all-consuming desire. Because that's what is happening to Solomon. And so he says, exalt her. Exalt her means let her be prominent in your life. Let everybody who knows you know that it is wisdom that you seek every day. It's wisdom that you desire. That you don't make any decisions without seeking the wisdom of God. You don't step out without stepping out with a consummate consciousness of God's wisdom, guiding and leading you. See, she will do what? Promote you. She will bring you what? Honor. We've been talking about honor. We've been talking about favor. But wisdom will do that. Wisdom will bring you honor. When you embrace her. Everybody say embrace her. Embrace, embrace her. Next verse. She will place on your head. I wish, can you imagine anything that can do this for you? Why would you not go after it? Say, it will promote you. It will give you honor. It says, she will place on your head an ornament of grace. On your head. That's what wisdom will do for you. A crown of glory, she will do what? She will deliver to you. Amen. Let's go to Proverbs 3 quickly. Proverbs 3, verse 13. Another thing that he says, happy is the man who finds wisdom. Happy. Someone wants to be happy, go for wisdom. So if a person is not happy, what should they do? You may think that to be happy, you know, what you need is money. He says, no, the man who finds wisdom is a happy man. You see, the quest for wisdom gives you joy. It just refreshes your bones, and all the things that are inside you, they begin to vibrate with joy when you go for wisdom. Who finds wisdom? And the man who gains what? Understanding. Understanding. Next verse. Quickly, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver. Her proceeds, her products, her profit, they are better than the profits of silver. Now, Solomon is saying this, is letting us know that how important wisdom is, which he went for. And we're going to be looking at the impact that wisdom had in the life of Solomon. And so he says, her proceeds, if you just go for wisdom, just don't go for silver. When you go for wisdom, he will benefit you more than silver can ever benefit you. He says, and her gain than fine gold. Wisdom. Her gain is more than fine gold. Next verse, 15. She is more precious than rubies. You just imagine the prose, the way Solomon is describing wisdom, the way he's talking about wisdom. And you can see that what he's talking about is a person. This is not a non-living thing. He's talking about a person. He's appreciating what wisdom is and what wisdom will do. He said, more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. All the things. Hallelujah. You know, I wanted to follow the trend, the theme that we've been talking about from January, from the New Year's Eve, about let your eyes be what? Single. that he should focus on God. So Solomon is focusing on wisdom, recognizing that once I have wisdom, everything else will come to me. All I have to do is to set my eyes on wisdom, and wisdom is God. Wisdom is God's word. So everything, nothing you may desire. So you may be here today, you may desire many things. Don't waste your time to try to desire many things. Desire wisdom. Go for wisdom. Don't wake up every day worrying about things. Jesus said, he says, do not worry about this, about that. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things. That's the same thing Solomon is saying. He says, nothing you desire. Okay, if I'm going to desire this and it's not up to wisdom, I desire that it's not up to wisdom, why not go for wisdom then? It's the best. Hallelujah. Next verse. Length of days. Are you seeing this, church? Length of days is where? In her right hand. So if I gain wisdom, if I find wisdom, if I go for wisdom, I will live long. And I'm going to show you something. You see, when you gain wisdom, you go for wisdom, you are going for long life. You don't need to say, oh, how will I live long? What are the things I need to do to live long? Go for wisdom. Go for the word of God. Go for God. Let your heart pant after God. He says, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Wow. I can imagine David, Solomon, as he's writing this, he's expecting the readers to really appreciate wisdom. Because he knows those are the things that people are looking for on earth and is contained in wisdom. Look at the next verse. Her ways are ways of what? Pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. You know, I said last Friday, I said anywhere that there is no peace, there is no wisdom. Wisdom brings peace. Wisdom brings rest. Wisdom brings calm. Wisdom brings composure. Whenever there is confusion, there's a lack of wisdom. Hallelujah. So look at that. What verse? Look at the next verse, verse 18. She is a tree of life to those who do what? Take hold of her. A tree of life. And happy are all who retain her. See, this is an introduction. There's so much that you can read in the book of Proverbs about wisdom, about going for wisdom. And it's like you want to center your life around the wisdom of God. Just desire, you know, just plain desiring it alone is success for you. Hallelujah. Just desire, just having that desire to know him more. To gain the wisdom of God. That's a powerful thing. Let's go back to that scripture we read last Friday. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And God comes to Solomon. God asked Solomon. He said, on that night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask, what shall I do what? Give you. Ask. And we said it that, you know, if God were to ask you, what shall I give you? We will ask for riches. We will ask for honor. We will ask for many things. Yeah, we have a long list of things that we will ask God to do. Look at it in the New Living Translation. New Living Translation. It says, that night God appeared to Solomon and said, what do you want? Ask and I will give it to you. So God says, I can do all things. Anything you ask, I will give it to you. You know, if Solomon had asked for riches, God would give him riches, but he would not be able to master life. He will have riches, but he doesn't have wisdom to master life. Then you're going to struggle in many other areas of your life, even though you are rich. But when you have wisdom, you master riches, you master health, you master everything. Because it's the mastery of life to have wisdom. That's why he continues to promote and exalt wisdom in such a big way. Because wisdom is God himself. It's God. Nothing you can desire that can be compared to wisdom. And so look at that. It says, ask and I will give it to you. Look at the next verse. Let's go back to New King James. Verse 8. Quickly. On that, and Solomon said to God, you have shown great mercy to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. I've talked about this last week, so we go on. Now, O Lord God, let your promise to David, my father, be established, for you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth, a multitude. Now, give me what? Wisdom and knowledge. Now, blank check. Ask what I would do for you. But it says, give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before these people, for who can judge? You see, it says to know judgment and justice and discretion and prudence and all of those things, they are contained in wisdom. Who can judge? You see, if you were to become a leader of anything, you would want to judge through your own knowledge, your expertise, your education. You see, but it says, who can do it? Great people of yours, who can do it? I need your wisdom. Look at the next verse. Then God said to Solomon, because this was where? In your heart. Now, when God says, what do you want? You see, what you want determines what's in your heart. God said, tell me what you want and I will give it to you. What you want. When you wake up in the morning, what you want, what you desire, determines what's in your heart, and it determines the steps you will take in life. You see, every day when we wake up and we go out, we are pursuing what's in our heart. Did you know that? We are pursuing what we want. Every person who, when you go out in the morning, you're pursuing what you want. So, yeah, I may go to work. I don't really want the work. I want what? The money. My motivation is not to go and work and serve the people and be a good, nice person. You know, that's why you go to some companies and, you know, you have the customer service, they treat you anyhow. They speak to you anyhow. They're not interested in the work, in the job. They are interested in the pay. And that's what determines what they do. But if they woke up in the morning and say, I'm going to treat all my customers well today. I believe in really giving people a good time. Make all my customers happy today. It will determine what they will do. So when God says, what do you want? He said, I want wisdom so that I can give these people justice. Now look at what God said. Because this was in your heart and you have not asked for what? Riches. My God. You mean God can say to somebody, you have not asked for riches. But that's, what's the bulk of our prayers? Money. What do we pray for? Money. You know, not just money, many things. We ask for health, we ask for this, we ask for our children, we'll do this, this will have. We are asking for many things. You know, Jesus said to Martha, he said, you are worried and troubled about many things. One thing is needful, one thing. You see, I love God. If somebody can zero in everything I want to do in life to one thing, they've simplified it. That's why Jesus said, my yoke is easy. It's one thing. He said, look at it. You see, look at it. He says, because this was in your heart, you have not asked for riches or wealth or honor or the life of who? Your enemies. And I told you, some people, this is their first prayer point. As I go out today, all my enemies. But you didn't, because if he asked for the life of his enemies, God said, ask what I will give you and I will do it. That's what God has to do. Because God's promise cannot fail. And so look at this. Nor have you asked long life Did I not tell you that inside of wisdom is long life? It says length of days he will give to you, wisdom. Hallelujah. And so look at that. It says, but you have asked for what? Wisdom. I think we've read this scripture for many years and we still are not really asking God for wisdom. And we ask for many other things. We still haven't caught it. We still haven't got to that understanding that once we go for wisdom, we have everything else. You see, that's what we've not, our hearts must not pant after other things because it would determine the state of your life. The pursuit of other things. For the Bible says in that parable of the sower, it was saying the lust for other things. What happened to Adam and Eve? They lusted after other things. They had everything. They had the wisdom of God, made in the image of God. They had everything. By going for other things, they lost the most important thing. So as Christians, is God saying he doesn't want you to have riches? No. But he says your heart, your desire, your want in life must not be for riches, must not be for honor, must not be, you know, someone should honor me. The people don't honor me enough. You know, people don't give me respect. You don't ask for it. Don't desire it. Go for wisdom. And God will put an ornament of grace on you. Hallelujah. You say, look at this. Now, have you asked for long life, but have asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself? Go on. That you may do what? Judge my people over whom I have made you king. Next verse. Wisdom and knowledge are what? Granted to you. Now, I want you to catch something here. This is very important. You can't have wisdom if you don't have faith. You see, when God said they are granted to you, God only spoke. So if God says he has granted you wisdom and knowledge, then you are trying to find out whether you really have it. You see, that's what we do. You say, okay, let me go and practice and see whether I now have wisdom. No, you don't. You believe it. Because there was no sign the day God told Solomon. There was nothing, there was no spectacular thing. There was no big bang. You know, you see, so what we want is that the way the wisdom should come is maybe a pastor lays hands on you. And then you shake. And then you say, oh, now I have wisdom. Now I have. No. There was nothing spectacular. It was based on God's word. It is granted to you. He believed it. And that was it. And he began to operate in it. Hallelujah. So he says, and I will give you what? So wisdom is granted you. And then I will give you riches and wealth. And honor such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after have like you. So God is not against riches and honor because he gave it, but he wanted the focus to be on what? Wisdom. To be on him. And when you focus on him, you will have other things. And listen to this. You know, God didn't say, I will give you the life of your enemies. Everything God said, you didn't ask for this, you didn't ask for wisdom, you didn't ask for honor, you didn't ask for riches, God gave him. But God omitted the life. God doesn't want you to take the life of your enemies. Otherwise, God will have said, because you've asked for, I give you wisdom, I grant you wisdom and knowledge, and then I will also give you the life of your enemies. He didn't say that. He left that out. He left it out. This is Old Testament. Now, let's read on. I want to go quickly through this. Let's go to verse 13. So Solomon came to Jerusalem. He was in Gibeon. And from the high place that was at Gibeon, from before the tabernacle of meeting, and he reigned over Israel. Next verse. And Solomon gathered chariots and horsemen. He had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, whom he stationed in the chariot cities and with the king in Jerusalem. Next verse, quickly. Also, the king made silver and gold as common. Say common. silver and gold as common in Jerusalem as stones. You see, he went for wisdom. Look at the kind of wealth this man had. He said, silver and gold. Can you imagine silver and gold is more common, like you pick up stones. And he made cedars as abundant as the sycamores, which are in the lowland. That is, what it's like, what was high and what was low, they were the same thing. You didn't have to struggle to go and get the things that are up there. They are just in abundance. Just pick them. That's what wisdom does. Wisdom brings the honor and the favor of God that you will not need to struggle. What you are trying to catch up there, wisdom brings it to the lowland for you. It makes it easy to pick. It says, as common as stones, through the wisdom of God, by asking for wisdom. Look at the next verse. And Solomon had horses imported from where? My God. And Keve. The king's merchants bought them in Keve at the current price. They also acquired and imported what from Egypt? A chariot of 600 shekels of silver and a horse for 150. Thus, through their agents, they exported. So Solomon was the greatest trader. Israel grew to its highest peak in the time of Solomon, in terms of trade. They had peace all over, because wisdom is peace. They had trade all over. You know, when you want a country to live in, it was in Israel at that time. See, everybody's going, you know, going to Europe, going to... At that time, everybody had to go to Israel. That was the best economy, because they say, you know, silver and gold, they were like as common as stones. They exported them to all the kings of the Hittites. Go on. And the kings of Syria. That's what wisdom brought to him. But he focused on what?
Wisdom.
Quickly, let's look at another scripture. Proverbs 8. We will go for wisdom. That is going to be our heart's passion. Every day, every night, we're asking God and thanking God for his wisdom that we have. And we will live by wisdom. We will live by instruction. Instruction of God's word. We'll live by wise counsel. Receive my instruction and not silver. You see now. And the reason I'm saying this is, you see, God gave him silver, he gave him gold, it was as common. So God was not against that, but God is saying, don't go for those things. Let that not be what you pant at. Do you know in this world, the percentage of people who are wealthy are very small? Did you know that? How many billionaires do you think we have on earth? Does anybody have an idea? How many do you think? Let's say 50,000. Let's assume 50. Okay, let's assume 100,000. Who can tell me the percentage of 100,000 people compared to 7 billion people? Now, what does that tell you? It's not for lack of trying. You think the rest of... almost 6 point something billion people, 6.9 billion people, you think they didn't try? They try. You don't want to join the number that focus their heart trying. Even after they attain it, still not fulfilled. You want to join those who know God and focus on God's wisdom, and all these things are added to them. And that's why you will be in church to hear the word. Because what you are hearing now is wisdom. As you're listening, you're gaining wisdom. And this wisdom will give you an ascendancy. You will gain an ascendancy over the situations of life. Look at that. It says, receive my instruction and not what? Silver. This is the wisest man speaking, so you better pay attention. He says, and knowledge rather than choice gold. He must know something. He must know something. Did he have gold? Yes, he had. But he said, take instruction more. Take the word more. Go for the word more. Go after the word. You say, well, Pastor, I've got to do some overtime. So, no. Go for the word first. Forget the overtime. But I've got to do this because no, okay. No, go for the word first, brothers and sisters. Oh, but I need to go and see this person so that I can, you know, they can help me with my health. Oh, get all the help at the time you should get the help, but must come to church to hear the word of God because true health is in wisdom. I'm telling you, it's in wisdom. True health that will be permanent is in the wisdom of God. Amen. Look at that. And knowledge rather than choice gold. Why? Verse 11. For wisdom is what? Better. I wanted to make a note of that. Wisdom is better. For wisdom, the reason I'm telling you don't go after those things, because wisdom is better. Hallelujah. How many of you know we've gone after many things? We've all gone after many things. Well, here we are. Here we are. How many years have we lived? Well, here we are. This is the best time to say, okay, I'm going to go for wisdom.
It's better.
It is what? Better. And all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. You know, I notice more so in this last couple of years how the wisdom of God, the passion for God's word, how it has done to me and my family. I just completely sold out to God's word, God's instruction, God's tenets. And I notice that that's all I have to do. That's all I have to do. That's all. Hallelujah. And all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. Praise God. Praise God. Just next few minutes. Can you take more? Amen. We will still finish on time. But wisdom is the what? The principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Get it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go for wisdom. Don't run after things. Don't run here and run helter-skelter. Stay focused. And I tell you, I guarantee you, in living word, what you get is wisdom. That's it. We don't do. You know, we don't. I don't. I'm not. Listen to me. My heart is not in any other thing but the word of God. That's all you need. You know, when we do the things, other things that we do them, and they help the vision, and they help the work. But let me tell you, my focus and your focus has to be on what? God's word. And that's wisdom. It is wise to focus on God's word. Hallelujah. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. Now let's look at the New Testament. We've been looking at the Old Testament. Let's see Paul now. It says, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. As Paul heard that these people, they're growing in faith. Their faith is so strong. And your love for all the saints. So, I want you to see something. See, the faith in Jesus, their love for the saints, which I believe a lot of us, most of us who are believers, that's the state that we are in. We have faith in the Lord Jesus, and we have love for the saints. Look at the next verse, 16. I do not cease to give thanks for you. So I'm thanking God that, you know, you have that faith. You have love for the saints. Making mention of you in my prayers. You know, thanksgiving is prayer. So when you give thanks, you're praying. So he says, let me tell you something. If you came to me and said, if I told you and I said, I make mention of you in my prayers, you may feel offended. Some people will say, mention. You are not serious with the prayer. You just mention me, you know. Because you make me, you know, to make mention is like, it's too light. You just mention me. I should be the focus of your prayers. Because prayer is not work. Prayer is grace. It is the wisdom of God does not require strength. You know, our prayer life many times, listen to me, bro, it's not based on wisdom. Most of our prayer lives is based on God, desperation. It's desperation and fear. Say, God, it's got to happen. Let me tell you, doesn't matter what your physical situation is, you are not a desperado. Doesn't matter what the circumstance is, with the wisdom of God, you're going to come out of every situation.
Amen.
Amen. God's wisdom, when you acquire the wisdom of God, situations that are around you will look like nothing.
Amen.
Look at this. He says, I mentioned you in my prayers. Next verse, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you what? No, I don't want that kind of prayer. You mean you mention me and all you are praying for is wisdom? Because wisdom is what? The principal thing. He said, when I'm praying, I'm giving thanks for you, and I'm praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom. You know, I want you to know what he's talking. It's not talking about the Holy Spirit here. You see, that S is a small S. It's not saying, you see, he's saying that your spirit, that human spirit that you have, that it will be flooded with wisdom. You will let the wisdom of God flood your human spirit. That is, you have a wisdom mentality. Wisdom mindset. That's what he's saying. And revelation. In the knowledge of who? In the knowledge of who? So, this is how you get wisdom. Paul is praying for the most important thing. He says that you will have wisdom, the spirit of wisdom, that mindset, in the knowledge of who?
Of Christ.
Of Christ. In the knowledge of Christ. Go on, quickly. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That is, the eyes of your understanding to be open. You see, if you close your eyes, you can't see, can you? No. So he's saying that there is something that is available, but you're not seeing it because your eyes are closed. Mm-hmm. Many people are going after other things because their eyes are closed. The understanding that you have is to know him. Because once they know him, every other thing will follow. But we are thinking that, you know, that's not what I need. What I need is other things. So I'm praying that that eyes will open so that you will discover that what you are doing now, listening and hearing the word of God, is the most important thing you can ever do in life. This is what Paul is saying. And this prayer, I tell you, you can put your name there and speak it every day for yourself. And I want you to begin to do that from verse 15, beginning. You put your name and speak it, declare it over yourself. Look at that. He says that you may know. Everybody say you may know. You know, these are all the things that Solomon talked about in Proverbs. Knowing, perceiving, receiving. That you may know what is the hope of what? So, I want to know what is in Jesus' calling. It's not my calling. His calling. Why did God bring him? What was the purpose of Jesus coming? He was called by God to come here. I want to know. Because if I know and discover that, everything that is in that thing belongs to me. He's unveiling wisdom to you. He's unveiling the importance of going for wisdom. Because inside of wisdom is all the hope of why Jesus came. What are the riches of the glory of his what? Inheritance. So wisdom contains all the riches of the inheritance that Jesus has. Not your inheritance, his inheritance. Not your calling, his calling. Because wisdom is about focusing on God and focusing on the things of God in the saints. So everything that Jesus has, his inheritance, is in you. He says that you may know it. That you may know it. So wisdom is actually searching out all of the things about Christ. And they are inside me. That's why I will not hunger for things. Because they are in Christ. When I hunger for Christ and I go for Christ, everything. Next verse, quickly. Let's do it quickly. And what is the exceeding? Oh my God. The exceeding what? Greatness. Of his power. To who? Toward us. So this is what I want you to know. Paul is saying, look, don't go for things. I want you to comprehend these things I'm talking about. He said, that's what I do, praying for you. That's my prayer for you. If I came out and I told you that's my prayer for you, would you be happy? If I say, well, you know, every day when I'm praying, I pray that you will have money, that you will do this. You will prefer that. But no, this is the real thing. That's why it says wisdom is the principal thing. It says that the exceeding greatness of his power to us, what? Who? Believe. According to the working of his mighty power. The exceeding greatness. He didn't just say the greatness. The exceeding greatness of his power. We are not looking for power. We have power in Christ. It's part of the inheritance. When I go for Christ, I have power on the inside of me. That power is greater than every other thing. A Christian life is not a life looking for more power. Don't look for more of anything. More of Christ to be revealed in you. More of his word. We don't look for other things. We go for Christ. When we go for Christ, everything else. Oh, you know, I'm no longer going to struggle in life. I'm telling you. Because I will not pant after anything but Christ. The wisdom of God. And look at that. Which he walked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. What is he saying? He said that power, you shouldn't ask for more power from God. Because that power that God used to raise Christ from the dead is in that inheritance. But that you will know it. You will believe it. That power, the same power. You see, do you know the greatest thing God did? You know, one of the greatest things that God did is to raise Jesus from the dead. Because everything was against it. All of the darkness, they were against it. That was when Satan and all the agents, they exerted all of their power to make sure it did not happen. And all God did was through the Holy Spirit, he raised him from the dead. And that same power is in you. Is in you. Wisdom is to know it and to believe it. That all of the power that I need in life, beyond. You see, you have more power than the earth can take. You have more power than your problems can face. See, you say you are facing problems. Your problems are facing your power. Woo! Glory, glory to God. They are facing the power of God that is in you. You have too much power. Exceeding greatness. You see the word. Look at that. And it says, which he walked when he raised him from the dead and seated him at where? At the right hand side in the heavenly places. I can't, you know, this is powerful, but I don't have time. Verse 21, quickly. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Far above. Everybody say far above. Not only in this age. Oh God, oh God. If you read this and something doesn't dawn on you, you need wisdom. You need wisdom. That is, everything, you see, far above everything. There's nothing. Is there anything? You are seated far above it because you are seated with Christ, far above principalities and powers and all the things. And every name that is named, not only in this age, in the age to come, you have overcome not only here, you have overcome forever. Huh. And look at the next verse. And he put all things where? Under whose feet? Jesus' feet. Now look at that. And gave him to be head over all things to the church. Woo! You see, he said he put all things under his feet and he gave him to be head over the church. Next verse. 23. You have 23. He says, which is his body. Now, what he's saying is that which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So what he's saying is this. Your head is Christ. You are the body of Christ. Everything is under your feet. Everything. And you see, Jesus is the head. All you have to do is stay connected to the head. And everything. Where are the feet? Are they on the head or on the body? So the devil, all of the challenges and all of the situations of life, Jesus is just sitting there. He sits in heaven. You are the one here on earth. His body is on earth. You and I are the body of Christ. We are the ones taking charge of situations on earth because he's under our feet. So wisdom, brothers and sisters, is to seek the head. Wisdom is to stay connected to the head. If I'm connected to the head, everything else in life is under my feet. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah.